News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
One turn now, though, to the Oireachtas Committee yesterday, highlighting overly competitive clubs putting children off playing sport. We're joined by Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball to discuss more. Ger, very interesting what happened yesterday at that Oireachtas hearing. Colin Regan, the GAA's Community and Health Manager, basically saying pushy sideline parents and overly competitive clubs putting kids off sport.
I mean, it's not a surprise when you hear somebody from so centrally embedded in the organisation as Colin Regan is talking about this type of thing. It's clearly something which they're frustrated about because they do have their own policies in place, the Respect Initiative, which they've had for, I think, almost a decade at this point. And that's aimed at trying to convince parents to stop shouting at children on sidelines. And it's not working. And it's not working. This isn't just a GAA thing. This is clearly a rugby and a soccer thing as well. So you're not surprised. So Damien Duff recently was talking about it. He was working with the under-15s at Shamrock Rovers and he was getting advice from parents about selecting the team. And you're like...
He knows a thing or two about picking a team.
A little bit. He's played in the World Cup. You know, he's won a Premier League.
Yeah.
He's played in the Champions League. And there were other stories. You know, you do a quick Google on this and you start seeing the horror stories emerge. There was a story in The Examiner recently about an underage coach in Cork who was involved with football. He was on the sideline looking at a parent behind the goals and went down and asked the kid what was happening. And it was the father of the striker trying to put the goalkeeper off. So that, you know, so it's not even just people talking about their own kids. It's people talking about other kids. And at that point, if you're 11 or 12 and you're thinking, I could go swimming, I could play tennis, I could play my computer games and sit on my ass and do nothing. What are you going to do?
There's a report in one of the UK papers today about parents recording school sports day and going up to teachers and saying, actually, my Johnny came third, not the other fella, and I have the video evidence to show it. I mean, like, we want to encourage our kids to play sport, but that's going too far, obviously.
This is exactly the fundamental question. Why do you want your kids to play sport? What's the point? What are the values that you're trying to instill in somebody when you put them into a sports body and a sports organisation? Is it that you want them to fall in love with physical activity, to be able to win or lose and treat those twin imposters just the same? Is it that you want them to develop social skills so that they can be part of a larger group who can problem solve collectively? Or is it because you want them to crush their opposition and get rich somehow doing this thing and beat people? Is it like, are they, which of these value systems that you're trying to instill in your child? And if it's the win at all cost thing, then off you go and poison that well on your own and stop ruining the sport for everybody else. But if it's the other thing, then calm down on the sidelines. There's absolutely no need to insult your own child. And just think about the tiny little brain of your child as it expands, thinking, my parents aren't very nice people.
The respect for the ref is another issue that came up. Yes, it's something, to be fair, rugby does incredibly well. And I think it's the most admirable thing about rugby, that the referee is always right, even when he or she is wrong.
Yeah.
And it does need to transfer to other sports, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you look at what happened on the pitch at the weekend in the Meath-Tyrone game, and I'm sure the Meath crowd would like that back. The decision was an awful decision, and the standard of refereeing needs to improve, but that doesn't really allow people to go on the sideline and start hurling abuse at referees.
Refs getting escorted off the pitch. I mean,
and the thing is, it's insane. Perfectly natural. We see it all the time. It's not like, oh, there's a guard escort for the referee. It's like, oh, there's this pretty standard at this point procedure of Gardaí making their way onto the field of play, and we collectively accept that that's what's going to happen. And it's like, well, he's kind of within his rights there to give it a bit to the referee, as opposed to, well, there's a year ban for anybody who kind of speaks sideways or looks sideways at the referee. There's a year ban. Let's see what you all do about it now. And that's not going to happen, obviously.
Just very finally, that idea, and Colin Regan is talking about kids in their clubs living vicariously through their underage teams that they work with. I have to say, it's one of those, when I heard it, it made me examine myself. You know, I coach underage teams. It's something you have to be so careful of, isn't it? And you do want to get that balance as well. I mean, you want to push the kids to do the best they can and give it a real shot, but at the same time retain the balance that, you know, there are more important things than winning and losing a football or a hurling match.
You want to teach people continuous self-improvement. You want to teach them to strive to get better, to acquire skills and to make the collective a little bit better by practicing and showing up and enjoying that kind of thing. it's very hard not to also want to try and win, because the whole point about this is that there is a winner and a loser. That's why we play this sport as well. And it's finding that, just that pitch where you go, it's actually all right if we lose, if we tried our best. And the way we tried our best is we practiced and we learned and we listened and we acquired new skills. And you know what? That's okay. That's totally fine. But it's the bit where we lost because the referee's a cheater. We lost because the corner forward duffed it up. Or we didn't actually give any time to the other kids who've trained all year, because actually we really needed to win this game, because if we didn't, we weren't going to make the league semi-finals. That's the other ridiculous thing that's happening here, is that kids are being turned away because they'll show up to training 2-3 times a week, and then the game happens and they're on the sideline for 90 minutes in football or however long it is, and they're like, what's the point of me continuing to be part of this when I'm clearly not a valued person? Even though we all know kids develop at different rates. Some kids are superstars at 8, some kids are brilliant at 16, and then some reach their full potential as an adult. And most of these sports are crying out for young adults and adults to be a part of the clubs, but they're being turned away by the fact that so many people decide that they're going to be the little Mourinho or the little Brian Cody or whoever it is, and trying to boost their egos. This is definitely an ego trip for so many people. Maybe not you.
I hope not. But I think it's something that parents, coaches, we all need to examine our consciences on this. Ger, thanks so much for joining us.